Yes, down to brass tacks. Let me share with you, somebody did send me the numbers for both the Sir Winston Scott Polyclinic and the Branford Tate Polyclinic. The Branford Tate Polyclinic, the number is 536-3700. That number again is 536-3700. The Winston Scott Polyclinic's number is 536-3400. 536-3400. So thank you very much, Government Information Service, for providing that information. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, first I like the geometrician to bless you, Dennis Johnson, and your entire staff.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I must compliment you for your interview with the Prime Minister. I think it was well done.
Thank you,
sir. And I must compliment the Prime Minister for her vision that she has for the country. I know that she is pregnant with ideas and where she wants to take the country. And she's asking the people to work with her. Now, first, what I realize over the years that's happened in this country is that we lack respect and we lack a sense of discipline. And all of this is being the reason why, in order for a country to go forward, your leaders, your songwriters, your musicians, and your poets, them the four pillars that keep a society in balance and cause a country to go forward in a positive manner. If your leaders don't got a sense of direction, you're in trouble. If your musicians playing music that cannot really stimulate you in a positive manner, you're going nowhere. If your songwriters don't make songs that make sense, you go nowhere. And poets, as you know, your poets is you sit down and you look at the wind blowing and you come with poetry. And if these things are not on all four cylinders shouting, this is where you find yourself going into trouble. So I think that we have to bring back some sort of balance and some sort of discipline and order in society. Now, I remember years ago, back in the 60s, we had something called Daily Vacation Bible School. And when you have the school vacation, we attend these things, I think, I came in for every day for a whole week, but the church, they're playing a very important role in the young people's lives. I don't know if these things will still go on. And I remember in those days, you know, you go to your daily vacation Bible school, you walk around the district singing, come along, come along, come along to daily vacation Bible school. It's for boys, it's for girls. And, you know, you have some sort of spiritual value to look forward to. These are things that is lacking. And I would like to see the church and some of the poly, the different clubs open up the doors and start back these kind of programs. And the way how things is now, if we got daily vacation Bible school going at churches, Boy Scout clubs and so forth, there are projects, hands-on projects, whether it be science fair projects, that the young people between 5, 8, and 10 years old could get involved in. So which means then that when a child gets 11, 12, 15, he has some practical skills. But nowadays, you don't see these things happening. I remember back in the 60s, we had something called, I guess you would know, and Dennis Johnson would know about this, radio electronics, practical wireless magazines. You know, everyday electronics. This is a magazine that you could go to the bookstore and buy. And young children, 9, 10, 11, build projects and learn electronics. What become these magazines? Popular Popular Mechanics, Popular Science.
Well, a lot of these things are available online now. You could go on your computer and access all of that information and more.
Yeah. So which means then that our people should be better. Our young people should be better.
Well, the truth of the matter is you got to tell me which young people you're interacting with. Because if you're not interacting with young people, you will get the impression that nothing is happening. You have young people around you now?
No, all of my children.
Precisely. All your children grown? The grandchildren don't come around by you too often?
No, them too young, them too small.
They're too small, right.
Yeah.
So once you come into contact with your grandchildren a little bit more, you will get a better sense of what is happening. And I must tell you that in many instances, there is great work that is being done with the young children. I mean, I think a lot depends upon where you send them for their early childhood education and that sort of thing, and the degree to which parents reinforce the better things in life. But there's a lot of positive. Oh, there's not all bad.
I'm not saying so at all. I could agree that there's a lot of positive going on with the young people, you know. But we would like to see and hear more about and see the young people doing things. Because, you know, we still got a long way to go. And I think that as long as we could get our society structured and get people doing more reading and involved in things that people could see that the society is willing to go forward, you know, I think that we would go a long way. Because, as I said, I remember from back in the 60s, these things that, you know, you used to go up by your next door neighbor, rebuilding the wall, tube radio, rebuilding this and rebuilding that. I don't know how much of these things are going nowadays.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Welcome.
Sir, it's a blessed day to you, sir.
And to you, too. I haven't heard you for so long. As a matter of fact, I don't think I heard you since the elections. Once.
I spoke to you once, but then you went on holiday or whatever, three days.
Went away.
A week or 2 weeks, so you were away and so on.
Yes.
I tried to get in a few. I spoke once to Mr. Lane, and then when Mr. Johnson was on, I tried to get him, but then the lines were all taken up and so on, you know. So I still try to make my contribution when I get the opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
I want to mention two particular things, but there are other two things that I will highlight them. I wouldn't be able to talk about them not because they might take a little time. That's one, the large cabinet, and secondly, the volume of taxes that has been heralded on us after being told that the country was overtaxed. I'll talk about those another time. But the two things I want to highlight today is this. Mr. Ellis, I would like you at some point, and I know Mr. Johnson would be interested in this one as well. That is, between Tamarind Cove and Treasure Beach, because in the Elegant Group, which is Tamarind Cove people, have bought Treasure Beach Hotel. Mr. Johnson, between those two hotels, when you travel, okay, and I want to call on the media as well to come down here and see this a wall that Treasure Beach or the Elegant Group has reinstated. And that is, it has been undermined about twice. The wall is in the sea. And then outside of that wall, they came to drop some very large boulders where they had this caterpillar with a backhoe thing digging out what they call a foundation. Then they dropped boulders and so on down in there. The beach is divided. You cannot walk from Tamarind Cove down to number one Sandy Lane because then the beach is divided and the water is in the wall is in the sea. I want you to come and see this. And Mr. Johnson, because I know
But you should be able to get somebody to take some photographs and send them to us as well.
But I'll
you
will
not
you
be able to get down there immediately, but that could be done today.
I mean, Mr. Ellis, I do not know.
You can do two things for us. You can, one, take the photograph. You could even have, these days somebody can take it as a video and tell us how they feel about it and send it to us.
I'll tell you this. Now, I'm not one of those persons who want to highlight my nation's indifference or bad habits to the world. Because you know very well that when we had this South Coast situation going on, what happened? That was heralded all over the globe, I would imagine. I don't want to, as they would say, flag your dirty linens in public as such. But I am making this appeal even to our Prime Minister, and we have the Minister of the Blue Economy. This is a blue economy, disaster. I do not know how anyone, Mr. Ellis, if you see where Tamron Hotel Wall is, and the condominium north side of the Treasure Beach Hotel, you will see how far back those are from the sea. This wall that they've now built is in the down in what we call First Gutter. I don't understand how could somebody be allowed to do things. You know what they want to do now? They're going to build a patio because they had one there, and the sea and the mine took away and had the sea black with all the dirt and all that.
You believe that they've put it there largely to protect the property from,
Ms. Ellis, let me say
from the
you.
Sea itself?
This where you see the other walls are and where this hotel wall were, this thing come down like in a point down to the water edge. And I know they could have done better. This is up. You have to see this at some point, really.
Okay.
How could any person do so? We Barbados don't. This, of course, were they pretend that and flagged it as a tourist matter. What is this? What would this be called? Lord have mercy. This is sad.
Yes. Equally sad is what's happening in the National Union of Public Workers. This is a bit disgraceful to see a union, which these people came and found far more united than this. And, it's amazing. I know that the former administration and some people who were very close to it had a lot of negative things to say about the leadership of the National Union of Public Workers. And it's really interesting that with the fall of the Democratic Labour Party administration, the National Union of Public Workers now finds itself, fractured, seriously fractured. It is absolutely necessary in organizations that when you realize that you are going to reach this kind of situation, this kind of stalemate and stuff, somebody has got to back down. Somebody has got to look for a way out and a compromise. And I can't help but say that this is not in the interest of the public servants of this country. And those who are at the top involved in this kind of fight must recognize that all Barbados is looking at you, and we expect better. This is down to brass tacks. This person asked me, do we need a forensic audit where the financial rules requiring public tenders for contracts greater than $200,000 have been repeatedly breached? This other person says that they live on the South Coast, and they're saying that the Water Authority sent out a letter to members of the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry on the 9th of June. Indicating the beginning of what's called FOG, that is the Fats, Oils, and Grease Program, to monitor the materials going into the sewage system. They want to know what is happening there because they're seeing no activity in this direction, and a month has gone so far. They also want to know what fixes have been done to the sewage network now that the water is off the road, and they want an update. And I think that is valid because since the sewage came off the streets, it seems as though those who are associated with the Water Authority may believe that they don't have to communicate as much. But I think the update, you may not have to do it every day as happened back then, but there is a need for some proper update on where we are. I remember not so long ago they were talking about digging into the soil, there was into the earth to establish exactly what was happening with the network, so that they could come up with a permanent fix. All in all, I think that the call for an update is valid. The person also says, by the way, all the sewage going into the swamp, and when the time comes to clean this area, how will it be done? They want to know that. And they're pointing out that there's also a lot of grease that is going into the swamp as well, and grease sticks and builds up over time, hence the present situation. So I hope that the authorities at Barbados Water Authority hear your particular call and respond to it. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air? 4341790. Hello?
Hi, David.
Hi, morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Your caller earlier, I don't know if I misheard or not, but he was saying that permanent secretaries are the ones responsible for the ministries?
Well, yes, they're the administrative heads.
Okay, but we all know that the minister at the end of the day is responsible for the issuing of contracts. We know that, right?
Well, there are rules, and in many instances, I remember we've had commissions of inquiry around here already, you know, and when it was all said and done, the way that the lawyers went after some of the people who were giving evidence would be by way of this question: would you admit or concede that the administrative buck stops at the permanent secretary? You know, we've had situations where allegations were made about the minister responsible for a particular area, and when this thing came to that point, they were told, look, but he does not have the authority to sign anything. It is the permanent secretary or the project manager or somebody like that. And that is why the technical people have a responsibility to protect their backs.
Okay. But right. I wanna say, you know, I read the Auditor General report about that same contract with the water tankers. And it concerned me a lot also when I read something in there. Because here we have it, that the authority went into a lease arrangement with a company for the purchase of 8 water tankers at 60,000 plus baht per month for 5 years. Actually, they said 63 months and not 60 months, right?
Yes.
So that ended up costing the taxpayers of this country probably in the range of almost $4.5 million.
And the recommendation, the idea which came out of the report was that they could also have leased them rather than buy so many of them at one time on the cash flow.
But right, but look at this. No, let's be honest, right? Had the authority had bought those 8 water tankers, because if it's a lease arrangement, I would assume that the authority would not have been privileged to get the duty-free privilege, mm-hmm. right? Because the trucks would belong to whoever brought them in for them.
Yeah.
So the duty-free would not be applicable to the water authority, right? Now, the Auditor General report said those same trucks now, which ended up costing the taxpayers over $4.5 million for the 5 years plus 3 months lease. The original price would have been $2.4 million, they said. Now, I don't know if that $2.4 million is duty-paid or duty-free. I don't know. So I am assuming it might be duty-paid, right? So if it is duty-paid, I am assuming those trucks, those 8 tankers, would have been a whole lot less than that $2.4 million. But we are now saddled with an additional $2 or $3 million to pay for tankers. You understand me? And then the guy is going to say that the permanent secretary is responsible for that. That is a joke. You know what concerns me about that contract also, David? It's not only about who, you know, the other thing that bothers me is who was the person that got the contract? Now, I wouldn't say who it was, but I guess that most student parents know who the person that got the contract was, right? And that is the reason why things like these things need to be looked into. Because here we have one company that is completely known for doing one set of work, but all of a sudden, this company now who's doing the same work for the same government agency is now becoming a car dealership for the same government agency. That is a problem for me.
All right. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air? Hello.
Morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Congratulations to you and Ms. Montley, the Prime Minister of Barbados, for a job well done. Now,
thank you.
First thing out, I noticed that there are some government departments still believe, and other departments, to where they have this answering service on the desk. And when you call and you leave messages, they never ever respond to the call that you have placed. So I'm wondering why they should have these things on their desk, the technology, when they are not using it. That is one point that I like. People in private enterprise as well, leave the message. I mean, it happens in the banks, it happens in the media, it happens all over the place in the government departments. I think the time has come when they should really pay some attention to answering their telephones, that device that they have on the desk. One. The British American, I heard the advertisement just a while ago about annuities. I know of several persons who have got annuities which have now been ready for payout over 10 years. That was the gestation period. They have matured. And some have been handed over to Sergeant Corps. And they are saying to some people that they cannot get their money until they get the ripe old age of 67.
Yes, I'm aware of that. I have come into contact with somebody who surprised me by saying that that's exactly what happened to them.
Yeah, I know a very good buddy of mine who was building his house and up to a certain stage, awaiting now the maturity of his annuity to finish the house. He's about 57. And now he has to wait to 10 years to get 67 before he can get the annuity. And there are some people who are younger, who have got theirs already. So I think there's some kind of double standards prevailing. And it's not good for persons who, when you get a 67, you can't build a house. It's very difficult to build a house at 67. That's retirement age. So when you get the 10 or 20,000 or the 70 or $80,000 that you got there tied up, it creates absolute problems. And somebody needs to come up and really tell us, outside of that advertisement which Ronnie just bring not too long ago, how it is that these people whose maturity deposit have now got to wait until such time to get their money back to finish whatever projects or whatever they were doing or whatever investment they want to get further into. So you need the clarity. And then you're in terms of the National Union of Private Workers, you just met the appetite of us out here. Who are not probably privileged yet to what's going on there. But I would like to exhort the people at the public, National Union of Public Workers, that whatever challenge they have, and I speak to this as a past president, that they should call in some of the past presidents or some of those people who have had vested interest in the NUPW to solve the problems and the challenges to make sure that organization get back on even keel and do the work for the public service and represent them to the best of their ability. Have a blessed day, David.
Thank you very much for your call. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hi, you're calling about two things. One is transportation.
Yes.
I just want to ask you a question. If you were a owner of a vehicle that costs so much money, would you put it on the number 11 route?
Which route is number 11?
Silver Sands.
Silver Sands?
Yeah. Would you put it on Silver Sands?
Well, I don't know. I assume that the Silver Sands route is one of the better routes in the country. There are a lot of people up there, and
not anymore.
Not anymore? Why?
No, for years, Amarillo's closed down, Silver Sands Hotel closed down.
Okay.
It's not the same as it was before. No, and people keep calling the program saying so because the bus service is so poor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they only have about 50 something buses, right?
Yeah.
But I listened to the program years and years ago, and used to hear about the Bashable route was a problem with the transport board for years. You never heard people complain about the PSV vans. They were always there, and they kept coming as usual. You know what I'm saying?
So how would you fix the problem?
The problem, I don't think an owner would want you to put his van where he doesn't want to be. So the problem is the transport board itself. If you have 50-something buses, obviously it can't serve the country. So it's a government problem where you don't have enough transport supply. We had over 200-something buses before, all right? And it's a big problem though if you have 50-something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that when people bring their small vans and put the investment, they're not even getting duty-free. So I would be a fool to take my van and put it in Silver Sands where I'm not going to get any money to pay back for my van if I'm not buying it cash. So, I mean, in these times, when people are saying it's really rough, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there are different routes each and every day coming out. There are even
But do you accept the criticism that I've seen in the Auditor General's report that the whole issue of how we are dealing with these permits really needs to be re-examined?
Yeah, they can re-examine it and talk with Marcy and the guys and see what they come up with. But you can't force the hand because, I mean, they started it. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really make anything out of that if nothing don't become fruitful. Because, as we say, it's a government problem. There are less buses than there were before.
All right, we'll come back to it. This is Down to Brass Tacks.